listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the bonus hour of Miller and Moulton on this final Monday of March. Thanks so much for being with us. Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. If you missed our interview with Dusty May, the men's basketball coach at FAU, go to floridasportsnetwork.com and download it. We just had it about 25 minutes ago. So, Mark, the questions, and we brought this up much earlier on today's show, but, you know, we have people coming in and out listening. And we've had a few people in our Twitch chat room who, after hearing the interview with Dusty May, they're like, well, you know, this is going to be his final week at FAU. And we're like pulling a Lee Corso going, not so fast, my friend. I mean, Mark, the VCU job's apparently opening up today because Mike Rhodes, their head coach, is going to get the Penn State job. The South Florida job is technically still open, although it looks like they're pretty far down the road with somebody also. I mean, I don't know of another – I don't think there's a Power 5 job available, and VCU South Florida looks to be the top of the food chain of what's left. I mean, there's a lot of NJIT and Sam Houston State and jobs like that. I mean, Mark, sometimes you just get lucky. And I think FAU's getting lucky here. I don't think there's a job for him to go to.
You've got Texas, if they don't stick with the guy that's there.
Although there's already a report this morning that says he's getting offered the job full-time later today.
And Texas Tech.
Okay.
I'm looking at every job that's available right now.
Okay. Well, that's a Power 5 job. If you're Dusty May, Lubbock, Texas. Or do you sit tight at FAU for another year and you have your whole damn team or most of them coming back? I mean, they don't have a senior. All these kids could come back. Now, maybe some of them will transfer NIL and what have you. Here's the other thing. Dusty's making reportedly 5.25. What do you think his raise is going to be?
Double it.
And I think it's going to be more. But I definitely think you're right. I definitely think now there's a comma added. Okay, he's going to be a million-plus coach. I think they may have to get close to 1.5.
They're going to the American. Mm-hmm. For a point of reference, David, you're better at these salaries, but I mean, when Joe D left FGCU to go to ECU, which was an American school, wasn't he getting like 900 to start?
Right. He went from making in the mid threes at FGCU, and his five-year contract was 900K a year. So that was a threefold increase. But that's to go small conference.
No, but I'm just trying to give people perspective that 900 was a starting point in the American. That's the conference they're in now. So I don't think you're far off in what your expectations of what May will get if he stays.
You know, my understanding is the head coach of VCU, Mike Rhodes, and he's about to leave for the Penn State job, he was making around 1.4. So that gives you an idea as to what it is that VCU is going to offer. I think FAU is going to keep them. And once you keep them for 1 year, anything's possible. You know, here's the other thing. Larrañaga's not going anywhere. The guy at Florida just finished his first year. And Leonard Hamilton's calling his shot at Florida State, too. So, you know, now you start getting into, there's probably none of the big three in state that are going to open up a year from now. And I think, by the way, if Leonard were to walk away in a year, I think there are others who would vault ahead of Dusty May for that job. Leonard's got a coaching tree you know, Andy Enfield's part of that coaching tree. I think Andy would be ahead of Dusty May on the ladder for the Florida State job if that thing opened up in the next couple of years. But we'll see. Might not be.
Be interesting to see if you could get Andy's wife to move from L.A. to Tallahassee. I mean, I think that might take him right out of the job, but that's just me.
At least you're within a half an hour of water. You know, you're at least.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Sell it. Sell it, well, big fella.
Well, it's not an easy sell, but it is, you know, don't know about going to the Big Ten. You know, the ACC may look good or that's wherever true. The heck Florida State's going to end up. I think they're going to end up in the Big 12, personally. I really do. I think within 5 years, Florida State's going to be in the Big 12. But that's a topic for another day. When the ACC blows up, I think they end up in the Big 12.
Boy, if it'll take 5 years for the ACC to blow up.
Yeah, I think it'll take another couple.
I just think five's a lot financially of where they'll be when these conferences start making all this money. If right. it lasts 5 years, I would be bullish on the ACC.
So right now, if I give you how many more years will the ACC last and I put the over under at 4.5, you're going under? Wow. Look at you. That's bold.
They are not. They're in a terrible position going forward. Yes, terrible.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. And their best sport, they got Miami to go to the Final Four. You got North Carolina not even in the tournament right now. I'm telling you, the ACC is in a position they've never been before.
It does have to be rich for the Miami fan out there, the ACC fan, you know, now championing your cause. I mean, you have to find that rich, right? For how much they've spit at you for the last 10, 12 plus years and really try to end the conference acts much of the time like you're not even part of it. Like we're stuck with you. We don't really want you.
Well, every time Miami is good, it's because the ACC is bad that year or whatever.
That's right.
The excuse is.
It's a down year for the ACC,
right.
And Miami's risen to the top. I mean,
oh, stop.
God forbid it could be a good ACC year with Miami winning.
Right, yeah.
Right. It's a backhanded compliment. Well, you know, they're only good because we suck this year.
Right, even though they went to an Elite Eight last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Basketball school.
Well, that's kind of undeniable now. That's painful. That's painful. But hey, come on now. When Larrañaga got hired, let's be brutally honest about this. 12 years ago, when Larrañaga got hired, for those that pay attention to this sort of thing, how many of you thought, oh, I don't know about this. I mean, he had that one run at George Mason, but I don't know. This seems like a retirement job. It seems like a guy who took the payday. He'll do his 4, 5, 6 years. He'll be okay. And then he'll retire. Because I got to be honest, that's what I thought. I mean, he was a very good coach. I knew they wouldn't be bad. But I just thought they'd be okay. And, you know, he'd get one contract extension. He'd do his 6 to 8 years. And he'd call it a day. And he's gone to 4 Sweet 16s, 2 Elite Eights, and a Final Four.
2 games away from having a court named after him, for crying out loud.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was a semifinalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame this year, he was a finalist.
Finalist.
Yeah, well, he's in next year.
He's 2 games away from a court and a statue.
I think that win against Texas got him over the hump, the Hall of Fame hump. I think he's in now.
What, there's only 15 of these guys that have coached 2 teams to a Final Four, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not, this is.
And Mark, and the 2 teams he took, boy, are they basketball schools. George Mason and Miami.
Now the question becomes, can John Ruiz do this in football? You've done it in basketball. You've done it in women's basketball. I mean.
Yes.
Come on. They went to an Elite Eight in women's basketball. They're in a Final Four in men's basketball. The next process is the football team to start winning. This is what John Ruiz envisioned when he decided to take his checkbook and invest it in the University of Miami.
So far, so good.
So far, so really good.
Larrañaga's Sweet Six, his first Sweet 16 was the second year at Miami. Obviously, next year's year two for Cristobal. Can they be good? I mean, you know, could you go 9-3? I mean, could you have the year Florida State just had? You go 9-3, maybe you win your bowl game, you put your 10-win season on the board, and you kind of start to feel, oh, you know what? I think we're getting pretty good again.
Right. We've rudded this ship in the right direction. We're now heading, now we've got a little momentum going forward.
Yeah. I mean, boy, Gators and Canes fans both. Wouldn't they take a 9-3 right now? Oh, man. Take a 9-3.
Good thing for the Gators. It's gymnastics and baseball season are still going on because,
whew.
Oh, boy.
Man.
This got to sting a little bit if you're a Florida Gator fan today.
Oh, there's, yeah. These are not good times. If you're Scott Strickland, you're not answering nearly as many phone calls as you used to. The AD in Florida. When you're working the media to pump up that Wisconsin transfer quarterback, I'm here. What, have you read all the stories about how great this kid is in the last 5 days? Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's because the quarterback who couldn't play for you last year might be a top five pick.
But how about the Canes and how about the Owls? Man, this is great stuff. And not just because we're in Florida. These are great stories, along with San Diego State. I mean, three of the four Final Four teams have never been to the Final Four before. And we're not going to have years like this. I mean, this is the anomaly. This is college basketball is not changing. I mean, how quickly we forget. Last year it was Kansas, Duke, Carolina, Nova, okay? It's a one-year thing. Embrace it. Enjoy it.
Be very curious how many did embrace it and enjoy it because the first weekend's numbers were through the roof. But with all the blue bloods gone, can the second weekend continue on in the ratings game for college basketball?
And if you were to give truth serum to Jim Nance right now, does he wish he had gone out last year with that Final Four?
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when, all coming up. David Sampson will be on the show tomorrow morning. We'll likely have some more FAU and Miami basketball guests as well. A reminder, opening day of the baseball season is Thursday. You can win tickets to the Rays-Tigers game Thursday at 3 o'clock. You've got a little less than 48 hours, or maybe 48 hours. It'll probably be around this time on Wednesday that we'll be giving those tickets away. All you have to do is text the word RAISE to 21,000, and you're automatically entered to win. It's as simple as that. RAISE, R-A-Y-S, to 21,000. And at least one of you and a guest is going to be going to opening day at the Trop.
I could almost line up the games for the weekend by what I was eating during them. I had such a fantastic weekend of basketball and food combination. Had the daughter with a friend over, so she was occupied from early Saturday right on through.
Okay.
Till halftime of the first game Sunday. It was a tremendous weekend. Between the match, I was into the match play, a little bit of the college hockey. There were some other things on out there besides hoop. That's where the multiple televisions did me justice.
I'm with you. I watched some college hockey. I did not get into the match play until Sunday. I did not. Wednesday through Saturday did not interest me.
I watched a bunch on Saturday, actually. It was pretty good. There were some some great shots. I love match play. I hate that they're taking – I know this tournament does, but the style of match play for these golfers who are so good, when they're hitting shots on the normal hole where it's, okay, you can't hit at that pin. That's a bad pin to hit at. So I'm going to hit it to the middle of the green. I'm going to two-putt, and I'm going to make four. Well, they don't do that in match play. They're firing at pins. They're trying to create shots that they normally wouldn't do in tournaments. And I'm disappointed. It's not a great TV product always, particularly on the last day. I mean, Saturday to me was a better TV product. Saturday early when you had the quarterfinal matches going on is a better right. TV product than Sunday.
Right. You had four matches going on, right?
Right.
It's ironic, though. They're getting rid of the match play, and yet they nearly had a Rory Scheffler final. They both lost in extra holes in the semis. And the reason Dell puts her name on this tournament is Dell was founded in Austin, Texas. Well, they play the match play at Austin Country Club. I don't know that Dell puts their name on anything else. Like, you know, they would love to have them replace Honda, I'm sure, and put their name on that tournament. But the guy who's running Dell's not interested.
Not at all.
No, I'm interested because the tournament's here. We're based out of here. I'm interested in supporting it. Otherwise, you know, I'm not interested. Never mind the fact the match play was a WGC event. They got, you know, really good fields, top 64 players arguably in the world that aren't on the LIV tour. Of course, there's only about three of them that are ranked in the top 64 anymore because they haven't gotten any ranking points for about a year. Everybody's making a big deal, by the way. It'll be a week tomorrow is the champions dinner at Augusta. About how awkward that might be. There's like six or seven LIV guys that are going to be in the room.
It's going to be awkward for Rory.
Well, he ain't in the room.
Oh, that's right. He can't be there. So right. That awkwardness goes away. He's not won that tournament. Oh. So the guy who's been the loudest
right,
isn't even in the room. So that takes right. away some of the awkwardness.
Right. But El Tigre will be there.
Is he even going to talk to anybody?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who his friends are that are in the room. I mean, he'll talk to Jack. You know, but just say, I mean, listen, everybody likes Dustin Johnson because, you know, and DJ's like, hey, you know, I mean, how could you be mad at DJ? He's not against you. You're not going to do a DJ impression, are you?
I had hamburgers when it was my dinner.
I see Scheffler's doing something similar. Hey, I like those sliders. It's a good idea. So that's all. I'm just saying, you know, you got Patrick Reed, you got Sergio, Phil, of course. You know, DJ, Schwartzel, they're not a problem. Bubba can be a problem.
Sergio? You know?
Well, no, I said Sergio, Patrick Reed,
Sergio Phil. Can be a problem.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Sergio, Patrick Reed, and Phil, they're the problems. You know, Schwartzel and DJ are not a problem. Here's what I think about Bubba. Bubba's the guy who believes everybody in the room likes him. And 2/3 of the room doesn't. That's what I envision Bubba is.
I think that's spot on. I think that is so spot on because he spent 4 years trying to make sure he could shake everyone's hand after they won a tournament. Now everybody's doing it. But Bubba was the first that seemed to always get camera time congratulating someone who won the tournament.
Right. Also, he's the big Augusta guy. He's been the guy there the first couple years for the women's amateur, in which, you know, they encouraged past men's champions to support this event. Well, Bubba's been all in on that event. Doesn't play that weekend. He's there. He speaks. He's walking the course. He's there after the championship, taking part in the ceremony. And he is a two-time Masters champion. You know, that's kind of a big deal there.
That's all that the patrons care about.
Right. I mean, you know, most guys there only win it once.
If you could just give me a Saturday pairing with Rory and Sergio.
You want Rory and Sergio or Rory and Reed?
That I would rather have on Sunday.
Okay.
Because Rory and Sergio, by all accounts, were friends. And Sergio's yes. not all that happy that Rory has just basically pushed many years of a friendship aside over business.
Right. Yes. He's been out of shape about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Sergio will remind Rory that he's not invited to the dinner on Tuesday. You had your chance. You blew it.
In fact, that should have been out of bounds on 10, but no one had ever hit a ball there before, Rory.
Right. It's out of bounds now. It wasn't then. Nobody envisioned a ball would end up there. Certainly not the second weekend in April. Maybe August, but right. not April.
Maybe when they let the media play that one time, there's going to get one over there.
Right. Maybe on Monday, but come on now. So, has been a tremendous start to the season, though. I mean, golf's had their, you know, a lot of their PGA Tour, anyway, has had their best players playing well at or near the top of leaderboards in just about all the events they're playing. I mean, hope that's the case for Augusta.
Which just sprinkled with a few live guys.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me one or two that are on that leaderboard. They don't all have to be, but I need DJ, Sergio, somebody. Somebody to have a week.
Wouldn't you love a Tiger-Phil pairing? In which they literally don't speak to each other. I mean, here's the funny. I mean, 15 years from now, they're going to have Tiger and Phil be the ceremonial tee shot guys? I mean, one guy's won it four times, the other or five times. The other guy's won it three. I'm seriously, who are you going to have it with if not those two?
And again, I don't think Augusta cares about LIV Golf versus PGA Tour. I don't. They care about their tournament.
Right. And when they ask you to be the ceremonial golfer, I mean, it's tough to say no. Although I will say they waited till Watson turned near 70 before they asked him. That's Tom Watson, for goodness sakes.
Well, they still thought he might want to play.
Well, he did, but.
They even made it too long for him. Miller and Moulton. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Today was a day when what's on tap. That's how we finish things off on what's been a great Monday right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Miss any part of the show? Download our podcast, floridasportsnetwork.com. Like an hour ago when we interviewed Dusty May, the head coach of FAU, David Sampson, among the guests already scheduled for tomorrow's show. For the record, Miller and Moulton both very much against the foul call at the end of Creighton San Diego State. I have a feeling, Mark, that, I mean, besides the excitement, FAU, Miami, in-state schools and what have you, if there's water cooler talk today, it could be people going, what'd you think, foul?
What did you think, Felipe? Foul or no foul at the end of the San Diego
State? I did see it. I don't think you make that call at the end of the game. I'm with you guys there. You ref the game like you refed it in the first quarter, or first half, I should say, my bad.
Well, how about... You refed it for 39 minutes and 59 seconds.
They didn't call fouls the whole game.
That foul was the 22nd foul called in the game. Think about that. Each team had exactly 11 fouls. So Creighton had been whistled for 10 fouls the whole game. And that was the 11th? Oof. Listen, Barkley was against it, but when Jay Wright, Mark, came out strong and was against it, I'm sorry, then it was a bad call.
And what Jay Wright really alluded to is that there is a understanding between the coaches, the players, and the referee of how a game's called. And he just flat out said that game was called one way and called differently at the end, and that shouldn't happen.
Also, you don't make that call. The shot misses. We go to overtime. It's a whole new ball game.
Well, you can't, you know, do the whole, we go to overtime and it denied the fans and what have you. It's just a matter of, should that have been a foul call? I don't think it was, even if the game was called tight, I was not crazy about the call, period. Because I didn't, yes, he put his hand on him. But, Mark, we see it all the time with DBs and receivers. Oftentimes a DB will put his hand on a receiver to kind of feel out, okay, this is where the receiver is, or to get his balance and make sure he's not going to stumble and fall. I didn't think Nembhard pushed him. I thought he put his hand on his hip, but I didn't think he extended his arm. I didn't think he pushed him. When I saw the replay, the guy goes straight up in the air. He lands and falls to the left.
Deflect into the left.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
We start today in 1513. Ponce de Leon and his expedition first sight Florida. Today in 1939 was the first NCAA men's basketball championship. Oregon beats Ohio State. Your final score, 46-33. Kentucky wins their third title today in 51. Singing in the Rain debuts today in 52. UCLA beats Nova in 71 for their fifth consecutive title. Today in 78, Kentucky beats Duke for their fifth title.
Jack Gibbons had like 41 or something.
41, you're exactly right.
He was from Linden, New Jersey. That's where my father's side of the family lived.
So you could safely say that Jack Gibbons was the pride of Linden, New Jersey?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
The big eruption wasn't till May, but Mount St. Helens becomes active today for the first time in 123 years, today in 1980. In 81, Ozzy's debut solo album, Blizzard of Oz, is released. May have to find that today on Apple Music. Just let it rip. Greg Norman sets a scoring record at Sawgrass today in 94, 24 under, beating Fuzzy Zeller by 4. In 2000, Hal Sutton wins the TPC going wire to wire, winning a stroke ahead of Tiger Woods.
Be the right club today. That's where that came from.
And Grey's Anatomy debuted today in 2005.
Can you believe that's still on the air?
I can tell you this with all sincerity. I've never seen an episode.
Really?
Never.
Not one of McDreamy, huh?
Not one.
Neither have I, Mark.
And I don't feel like I've missed a damn thing. Celebrating birthdays today, Cale Yarborough's 84 years old today. Quentin Tarantino and Randall Cunningham are both 60. Mariah Carey's 54. Fergie's 48, yes. And Buster Posey is 36 years old today. What did I miss, David?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
Good.
I was paying attention to you and not paying attention to my this day in history. The only thing I got that I found interesting, Brando turned down the Oscar 50 years ago today.
Turned it down.
Yep. Okay. He won it for The Godfather. Okay. He attended. He had someone attend the Oscars in his place. Okay. And that person got up on stage and said very regretfully that he could not accept the award. He was protesting Hollywood's portrayal of Native Americans in film.
Miami lost in the Elite Eight last year. Now they're in the Final Four. That's all I got.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What you got, Mark?
We go to Gastonia, North Carolina for the good. City Church, actually. They started a Hope Closet a few years ago, giving away clothing for kids who may be displaced or kids in school that need new shoes. Pastor read an article about the growing number of kids whose school lunch accounts remained unpaid. In Gaston County, the pastor learned that families owe a total of $13,000. So they took an offering to see if they could knock it out. In 2 weeks, they raised $23,000 and knocked out every lunch debt in the county. Well done.
Awesome.
Absolutely. For the bad, we go to Venice, Italy, that is, where Italian authorities are searching for a man who jumped off a three-story building into a canal. Calling the man an idiot, the mayor of the town said in a Twitter post that he would give the man a certificate of stupidity and a lot of kicks. The video's gone viral. They are now looking for who shot the video and the person who jumped, wanting to arrest them both. Couldn't get me in one of those canals. They're filthy. Finally, the ugly. We go to LAX, where a passenger on Saturday was arrested for opening an emergency exit door aboard the plane and activating the emergency slide prior to takeoff. It was around 10 a.m. in the morning when the passenger asked the flight attendant, "What do I do now?" The flight attendant insisted that the man sit down, but he ran from the flight attendant, went to the plane's emergency exit door, turned the latch, opened the door, and slid down the emergency slide. The plane was forced to stop. The man jumped onto the back of a luggage cart where luggage workers held him down until police got there. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 27th, 2023.
Didn't plan the second part of that exit out very well.
No.
First part, pretty cool. You know, you could see it as part of like, you know, a couple scenes in an action movie, but when they got you held down to a luggage cart, that last plan didn't go well.
That's like a really expensive little trick he made there too. Because it's not cheap to get those things all put back in.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, we got to that point, David. You know, we've had lots and lots to watch. We're running out of things.
Well, there's no doubt. There is no doubt. You know, we've got Final Four, got to hold off till Saturday. You do have women's Elite Eight tonight. South Carolina's 35-0. They're playing at 7 o'clock. They're trying to become the 10th, I believe it's the 10th, 10th or 11th, but I think the 10th women's team to ever go undefeated and win the title. And remember, they won the title last year, beating UConn. So they're trying to do what the Georgia football team's done, go back-to-back here. At 35-0, they're 14.5-point favorites. Here's why I want them to win. If they win, you know who they play in the semis? Caitlin Clark and Iowa. I mean, come on. That's really what we want to see. You got the great team against the great player. I mean, there you go. Let's do this. They play Friday also. Ohio State, Virginia Tech, the other Elite Eight game. Virginia Tech, a 3-point favorite. Winner faces LSU.
It's a must win for the Panthers.
One of six games in the NHL tonight. They're in Ottawa. They're 3 points behind the Penguins for the final playoff spot. Each team has 9 games left. They are 4 points behind the Islanders, and the Islanders only have 8 games left. Panthers could, with a win tonight and an Islanders loss at home against the Devils, they'd be only 2 points behind the Islanders, and they'd have a game in hand. So the Panthers still have a shot at either wild card, Mark, but the key part of the equation is they got to win tonight at Ottawa.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to pass the Islanders, though, because I think the first tiebreaker is regulation wins, in which they're 3 back in that. So things do not bode well for Florida in any of the tiebreak scenarios. They've got to win some games here and get a little lucky to make the postseason.
NBA tonight, none of the Florida schools in action, and really not a game that impacts the Heat. However, there are two interesting games tonight. The Mavs right now are not even in the play-in. They've made the trade with Kyrie, and they've done nothing but lose. Luka can't play tonight because he got too many technicals. So he's suspended for tonight's game in Indiana. It's a big game for Dallas. They're a game out of the play-in. And Mark, does the MVP get decided tonight in Denver? Embiid and the Sixers against Jokic and the Nuggets.
Ooh.
Lot of people taking up Embiid's cause when those two faced one another in Philly, Embiid was the better player. Now, Jokic and the Nuggets just whacked Giannis, although Giannis had a big game, and the Bucks over the weekend. Now it's Philly. And Mark, you and I have talked about this. It's unbelievable to us because in the other sports, they don't care about individual awards at all. The NBA is obsessed with who they're going to give the MVP to. Obsessed by it.
This all started in the Jordan era when they had to decide to give it to other players because they were having really good years because we couldn't give it to Michael every year. And that's now, to me when it started. And it's never ended, yeah, David.
Chuck.
And now they don't want Jokic to win three in a row. They didn't have a problem him winning either of the 2 years. But now that, quite frankly, he should win it this year, they're like, well, we can't have him be a three-time MVP. Do you know how short the list is of guys who have won three straight MVPs? We can't put him on that list. That'd be ridiculous. It's become a black-white thing. It's become an American, non-American thing. It's a thing.
And it was a thing in the All-Star game when he got picked last.
Right.
I mean, come on.
No. He didn't get picked last because he made sure that he wasn't picked last since he just walked to LeBron.
Oh, that's
on
right.
Stage.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right. That's like, true. Hey, he was going to be picked last, and instead he cut in the line and said, I'm on his stage.
I apologize.
LeBron, you're picking me, by the way. Yeah.
But trust me, this is fascinating. The faction of the NBA that'll be rooting for Embiid tonight versus the faction of the NBA rooting for Jokic. 90% of the league's rooting for Embiid tonight.
Nuggets are a 5-point favorite for what it's worth. By the way, the Mavericks are an underdog tonight against the Pacers. Just a point, but still.
No Luka.
No, I know. It really doesn't matter if they had him or not the way they've been playing since Kyrie and Luka have come together.
You're so right.
Goodness. Well, it's a disaster. So that's what's going on in the sports world tonight. Final days of spring training. Season gets underway Thursday.
Reminder to text RAYS to 21,000 to win tickets to the RAYS opener against the Tigers. It's that simple. All you have to do is text the keyword RAYS to 21,000, and you have your opportunity to win tickets. We will give them away on our show on Wednesday.
David Sampson will join us tomorrow, 7 o'clock. And we feel pretty confident that we're going to have plenty of FAU and Miami guests the rest of the week as well. Between Jim Larranaga and the two play-by-play voices, we think we'll have you covered.
Miller and Moulton. We'll do it all over again Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Thanks for listening.